Good morning, people of God. My, it's very echoey in here this morning. But we're gathering this morning in a new and different way. Way for us, we normally come together physically, and together we're coming together through Facebook Live, through the radio, and we are still community in that. And so I want to invite you to embrace that, given our situation right now within our communities and our country. I want to encourage you to pray for one another, to be in contact with one another through phone calls and that, just to remind each other that we are not forgotten, that there are people that care as we walk through these waters right now. So begin our worship today. We begin with our confession and forgiveness, and we begin here at the baptismal font, for it's here we are reminded of who we are and to whom we belong. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, you are above all things, yet so very near to me. Because you already know me better than I know myself, I confess that I have not honored our relationship. I have sinned against you today. There are things that cause me shame and embarrassment. Things I have thought, things I have said, things I have done, in your presence and in the presence of others. And there are things I have already forgotten, or don't even realize how hurtful they are. Remember that Jesus is faithful when I am not, and restore me in your Spirit to continue in our life together. God knows what we do, yet sees who we are through the eyes of Jesus, who has joined God's life with ours and in whom we are made new. Mercifully broken and wholly mended, we are set upright to live again. Amen. Please join as you are able. We'll be singing our entrance, our opening hymn is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, who runs to meet us while we are still far away, who gathers her children as a hen gathers her brood, who fills our hearts with treasure that lasts. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We sing Kyrie Eleison. Kyrie eleison, out of world and out of way. Kyrie eleison, every day. A peace in the world, for the health of the church, for the unity of all. But this holy house, for all who worship and pray, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. That we may live out your impassioned response to the hungry and the poor. That we may live out truth and justice and grace. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. For peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes, for friends and family. For life and for love, for work in our play, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. For your Spirit to guide, that we center our lives in the water and the Word. That we nourish our souls with your body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayer, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The first reading for this fourth Sunday, for this Sunday of Lent, is recorded in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. And you might have this psalm memorized, so I invite you to join along with me as we pray together this prayer of trust during these uncertain times. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here ends the reading.
My heart is
Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, "Why is this man born blind? Why is it because, was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?"
"It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes.
"Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam."
So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was. Others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying,
"Yes, I am the same one."
They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?"
"The man they call Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' So I went and washed, and now I can see."
"Where is he now?" they asked.
"I don't know."
Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them,
"He put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see."
Some of the Pharisees said,
"This man Jesus is not from God, for he is working on the Sabbath."
Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded,
"What's your opinion about this man who healed you?"
"I think he must be a prophet."
The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see. So they asked his parents. They asked them,
"Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he now see?"
His parents replied, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He's old enough. Ask him." So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him,
"God should get the glory for this, because we know this man Jesus is a sinner."
"I don't know whether he is a sinner, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see."
"But what did he do? How did he heal you?"
"Look, I told you once. Didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?"
Then they cursed him and said,
"You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from."
"Why, that's very strange. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. But if this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it."
"You were born a total sinner. Are you trying to teach us?"
And they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him."
"You have seen him, and he is speaking to you."
"Yes, Lord, I believe."
And he worshiped Jesus.
"I enter this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, to show those who think they see that they are blind."
Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked,
"Are you saying we're blind?"
"If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please pray with me. Loving God, we are grateful this day. Grateful this day that your Spirit moves in among and through all the different types of things, the technologies. We give you thanks that your Spirit moves through your Word and that we can hear it in different ways. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the second week in a row we've had an incredibly long reading from the Gospel. The stories. Last week was the woman at the well. This week was the man born blind. A lot of words. A lot of words going into these texts here. But you know what? The message is pretty simple. It could be honed down into just a simple sentence. A man is healed. People found it hard to believe, but he's still healed. Why all the words? What we find in our text today is that Jesus saw a man who was blind and did exactly what was needed. He healed the man. And the interesting thing is that's where the problem begins in this story. He did it on the wrong day, to the wrong person, without proper witnesses. It was all wrong. Jesus did it all wrong. The religious authorities are only so willing to tell him so. And Jesus is only too willing to play these games of words today. The healed man on the other day is just happy because he's healed. You know, every age has, from time to time, need to refresh its understanding of theology. You know, do you know what the word theology means? It's actually a combination of two words. Theos, which is God, and logic or ology, which is words. So what it is theology is simply words that we use to speak of God. And we need these words to make sense. So we create theology. And now theology is more than words because the words we use reveal how we think of God, and how we relate to God. Now, I want to suggest to you that good theology keeps our relationship with God and one another in a proper relationship, a proper perspective, you might say. Bad theology places God subject to our thinking and makes God act according to our wants and desires, or make God into something that God is not. Good theology, bad theology. Jesus, here in this text, goes after bad theology. Jesus came to heal the sick and the blind, and the religious leaders want to protect their rules. Interesting. Jesus' attack on bad theology is also a time for us to reflect on the bad theology, which also creeps into our lives too, twisting God to fit into our image of what we think God should look like or how God should act at any given moment. You know, there was a wise pastor who once told me, when I was a baby pastor, a long, long time ago, that's what we call newly ordained people, baby pastors. So it could be really older people who got ordained later in life, but the pastor said, remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. Remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. So, Lori, do you remember who that pastor was?
No.
You don't, oh. I thought it was you. When you were, no. Remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. This is what good theology is all about. God is to be given worship and praise. Now, throughout this text, there's a whole bunch of different dialogue things that goes on. And this comes out of this bad theology stuff. Now, like this, who sinned, this man or his parents? For somehow, the things in life are related to some type of actions. In bad theology, sickness and tragedy and other things such as that are often seen as results of not living right. You know, we're told that so many things are God's judgment on the world. And man, you know, even some have even suggested that our present situation with the coronavirus is somehow related to God's judgment on the world. We're in a time of social separation. Some call the virus, like I said, an act of God. I say no. I say no. It just is. That's what the virus is. I received a post, as probably many of you did, maybe saw this. It's a post, it's like on a scroll, such as this. I know you can't see it, but I'll be reading it here. People we know will get sick and maybe die from this virus. So let us ground ourselves in good theology straight away, shall we? Heaven doesn't need another angel. Illness and fear are not God's will. God will not abandon us. This illness is not God's punishment, punishing us. I don't know is a faithful response to the question, why? A time of separation. You know, this man's blindness has nothing to do with sin. He's just blind. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. Good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. If you haven't checked that out, just go and read the book of Job. This blindness presents the opportunity for God's work to be revealed. God's love to simple. You, God loves you simply because God created you and continues to love you no matter what. I think of a seminary classmate of mine. Actually, she was a couple of years ahead of me in college, too. But her name is Terry Cuppett. Terry Cuppett and her sister, Chris, were both born, they were blind from birth. It has to do with, I believe, an oxygen level piece when they were prematurely born. But they were blind from birth. The thing about both of these two is that they were just beautiful, beautiful singers. But I want you to imagine Terry entering seminary, doing all of her classes, having books read to her, because she could read Braille. But I'm sorry, Greek and Hebrew are not, there's not too many books written in Greek and Hebrew. Terry lived on the same street as us our first year in seminary, and she would ride with us and her dog, Brooke, to seminary each and every day. And we'd bring her home to her apartment. Blindness. She was just blind. She used this opportunity throughout her life to serve God, to not let the blindness think that she cannot see. So she served as a pastor for 25 years, now living in northern Minnesota. One of the other words, things that are said, especially by the leaders at that time, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. You know, it's really a wonderful opportunity to gather with other Christians and worship. You know, we miss that today. We miss that gathering together today. But let that be a barrier to our worship, to our sense of gathering together. You know, the thing is, the Pharisees had figured out all the different steps to take, how much a meal they could prepare before they broke the Sabbath. Now, I want to suggest to you today, in our present situation, nurses and doctors and pastors and others need to be about their callings on all days of the week, especially now when our world is turned upside down. Good theology leads us to give glory to God at all times and places, together with others and alone, together, in physical community or online like today, to be open to caring for people when and where we find them. Oh, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? We are all sinners, people whom God desires to forgive. At the same time, sinner and saint, all people gifted by God to be about the work of the body of Christ. Our history, our failings do nothing to change that fact that Jesus died for each one of us. Enough bad theology. The bottom line of the story is the main thing. Is that one who was blind can now see? Give glory to God. God has blessed us with life. Why would we not give glory to God? In response, we are to be about transforming lives, to be part of the ministry that Jesus was about. Healing because healing is needed. Lifting up those who are down because people need to be lifted up. Sight returned to the blind because people are not able to see God clearly. Be able to see Him in us. Theology is of use only to the degree it helps us see God for who God is. So help us give God the glory due. This is why our mission statement is so important. To love Jesus, grow together, and serve others. God has transformed our lives with love and acceptance. Can we do anything less for those around us? Amen. We move on now in our service to our prayers as we lift up our concerns, our intercessions before God.
Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we pray today for all those who are worshiping at home today. We pray that your presence might be felt in their lives. And we pray, Lord, that in the midst of this coronavirus crisis, that you would care for those who are sick. Bring your healing presence to those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, and, Lord, even to those who are bored. We ask, Lord, that your special grace and privilege will be with those who are working in the healthcare professions these days. We pray for the doctors and the nurses and all the medical professionals who are working extra long hours. We pray that you will support and sustain them. And, Lord, we pray for the scientists, those who are learning how to cure this disease. We pray that you would give them wisdom and grace. And Lord, we pray for the leaders of this nation, of the world, and of our state. We pray that you will grant them insight and courage to lead faithfully in this unprecedented time. And Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with other illnesses and other concerns of their own. Today, especially, we lift up before you today Randy and Pam, Sue and Jeremy, Patty, Erica, Kathy, Joelle, Paul, Lexan, Sonia, Sharon, Kevin, Grace, Paul, Sean, Libby, Tracy, Ramona, Doug, Leo, and our friends and companions in Malawi. We pray for all those who are serving in the military and all of our members and friends who are residing in care facilities. We pray today for We pray that this crisis would soon be over, and we lift up before you all those in any need. Lord, you know our needs even before we ask them, but we pray that you will hear our prayers and attend to our needs, especially during these difficult days. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Receive the benediction. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation. How Firm a Foundation.
Foundation, O saints of the Lord, who lay in God, and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. Throughout all their lifetime my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And then when gray hairs shall their temples adore, like the lambs they shall steal in my bosom.
Just a word of announcement here today. Once again, thank you for joining us online. I hope that the Spirit of God has moved through our time together here and fed you this day. Just the offices will continue to be closed, and in-person meetings will not be taking place for the foreseeable future. We're still hoping that by Palm Sunday, April 5th, we'll be able to gather once again as a communion of faith. I want to remind you that even as we are unable to gather together, but the work of the church continues to go on. You're a phone call away from conversation of help and hope, do not be afraid to give me a jingle with needs that might be there. Also, an opportunity for you to continue to give. Please consider mailing an offering if you feel like this is important as we move forward. To give online, there's opportunities on our website. To give online, but also you can send your offerings in the mail also. The other announcements are actually posted on our website, so I'll invite you to go and check those out at your leisure. But you know what time it is. Even though we're stuck in our houses and stuff, we still need to love Jesus, grow together, and to serve others. We go in peace. Amen.